The Federal Reserve says it's a particularly bright moment for the U.S. economy. I'm Tracy Samuelson, in for David Brancaccio. The Fed said yesterday that the economy's on solid footing and raised its benchmark interest rate a quarter point. President Trump again said he was unhappy with higher rates, even though his predecessors have typically avoided criticizing Fed decisions. At a press conference, Fed Chair Jerome Powell insisted the central bank doesn't consider political factors. Here to discuss what else we learned yesterday is Diane Swonk. She's chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Hey, Diane.
Good morning.
So, Diane, with yet another press conference in the books, we learn a little bit more about Fed Chair Powell and his style and how he differs from his predecessors.
Well, I think what we saw yesterday was, in a much more confident manner, him express himself as a non-economist. This is one of the most politically savvy statements and press conference following a actual Fed meeting where they raised rates. He not only acknowledged that the Fed has limits in what they can do, but he also acknowledged that the Fed just doesn't have the tools to lift the outcome for all Americans.
So a Fed chair who's a little less academic, perhaps a little more humble, as you say, are there risks to this approach or change in strategy?
Well, what we're seeing is the strategy is now almost completely reactive. And by the time it shows up, the corrosive effects of things like trade or the economy actually stumbles and falters, it'll be too late because the Fed will be reacting, but it won't be reacting fast enough to stop an actual recession from occurring.
Okay, Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Every day you make decisions about your own personal economy, including choices that aren't obviously about money. That's why Marketplace covers business and finance from so many different angles, connecting the dots between complex issues and why they matter to you. Invest in Marketplace today to make sure public service journalism is always here to deliver reliable, objective news and context about the economic forces that affect you every day. Donate whatever amount is right for you at marketplace.org. And thank you.
Education is sometimes referred to as the great equalizer in our society. But a new study suggests otherwise. Researchers have found that student loan debt is contributing to the wealth gap between Black and white households. That Black college students took on 85% more student loan debt than white students and paid it off more slowly. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
Black students are more likely to attend for-profit colleges, often leading to more debt. They're less likely to have help from relatives. And, says the study's co-author, Feniba Otto, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, they're more likely than white students to be underemployed after graduation.
And so being unable to pay down that debt right upon school leaving can lead to a longer trajectory of paying that debt down over time.
The study projects 15 years later, Black grads will have 185% more student debt than their white peers. New School economics professor Derek Hamilton's takeaway, people who start out with more resources tend to stay ahead.
Despite our societal emphasis on these things that individuals can do to have a secure and safe life, the underlying ingredient is wealth itself in driving life outcomes.
To keep debt at bay, Otto advises students to complete college quickly, minimize more expensive private loans, and start paying off their debt as early as possible. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Sticking with the price of higher education, next week, parents and high schoolers can start filling out the federal financial aid application. Hopefully, parents and their kids have already started talking about how they'll pay for college. Marketplace's David Brancaccio spoke with personal finance expert Beth Kubliner, who has a project called We Need to Talk College.
How early do you start? Like when they're on their little tricycle? Johnny, we need to start talking right. about what 1 year of college is going to cost. Now, when do you start?
Start as early as the end of eighth grade, beginning of ninth grade. And that might seem early, but you have to keep in mind, this is a series of talks, not a one-time talk. But it's also a way to start managing expectations early about what your family can afford and what your kid has in mind about college. I know so many adults who now tell me, you know, I was disappointed because I got into my dream school and only then did my parents break the news, oh, we don't have money to pay for this.
Well, you've been doing some field work here, and here's a bit of one of the conversations that you sat in on, who's Julie and her son, Perry.
Some bad choices in there because I deferred my student loans for a while. Well, we did. Your dad and I did. Because we were new young parents and we were struggling and we just couldn't make that payment.
So you're saying that's not how I should pay for it.
All right. So there's a little piece of that discussion. It's already starting to be it's making me uncomfortable listening.
I know some parents who are so stressed out by this that they make decisions in their head. Oh, we're not going to have our kid take on any federal student loans or any student loans at all. And the fact is 70% of kids do borrow for college. So it's important to talk about things like that and your expectations. Do you expect your kid to work over the summers, to have some money to contribute? And talk about the fact you've done your research, you're in this as a team, you'll find low-cost loans. You know, getting into those conversations is really important to set a kid's mind at ease and know what's coming up.
All right, 'tis the season now for dealing with this. What's your big tip?
Fill out the FAFSA.
That federal form that used to be a nightmare and now is only very difficult.
Right, exactly. It is still hard and it's not fun, but so many families who don't apply because they don't know about it or they think they're ineligible, they're leaving billions of dollars on the table. And a financial expert told me that even if you earn up to $150,000, you might still get some financial aid, especially if you have more than one kid in college.
At marketplace.org, you can find a handy link to Beth Kobliner's project, We Need to Talk College. Beth, thank you.
Great to be here.
Next week, we'll hear some tips from Beth Kobliner about how to increase chances you'll get college aid. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.